Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together at the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added their numbers daily, those who are being saved. Word of God.
Thanks very much, John, indeed. Wow. Last Sunday, we were had our partnership Sunday, and it was really great to welcome around 20 new partners into Rock Christian Center. Before that, we were relaunching our fourfold vision of growing up in maturity, and hopefully that will come up on the screen, growing up in maturity, growing together in community, growing out in evangelism and mission, and growing larger in numbers. And that was taken, and this fourfold vision is taken from the story of the first church in Jerusalem that we've just heard read to us. We also looked at our core values. Last time, I was looking at relaunching the vision, the core values of word, worship, prayer, spirit, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, all these core words, core themes that are central to what we are about at Rock Christian Center. And today, we're looking at the final part of our vision relaunch, and we're particularly looking at growing larger in numbers, which seems very appropriate since there's hardly any chairs left in here today. And verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So that was the story of this first church in Acts chapter 2. So the church in Acts was growing in numbers in a big way. People were being added to the church daily. And you know, we can all be super spiritual and say that numbers don't matter. And often we say that, particularly in the UK. Well, numbers, it's not all about numbers. We certainly don't want to be a numbers-driven church, and we're not a numbers-driven church. But the New Testament isn't afraid of numbers. It tells us there were 120 people in the upper room. It tells us that 3,000 were added to the church on one day, the day of Pentecost. And then it tells us a few verses later, "And the Lord added daily to their numbers." Do you want to see numbers of people, great numbers of people, becoming Christians? Well, that was about half of you. You know, every single one of us should want to see great numbers of people becoming Christians, shouldn't we? Yeah. Coming into faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to fill the church, but so that their eternal destiny is heaven, not hell. You know, that's what we want, and we want the large numbers of people to be saved. It doesn't matter whether they come to this church or go to another church. It's all about building God's kingdom, isn't it, in that sense? You know, I'm thrilled that at least two people have committed their lives to Christ on our Sunday morning services in 2023. That's thrilling. That's exciting. That's great. We praise the Lord for that. It's wonderful. But we want more, don't we? We would love to see the Lord adding daily, weekly to the church. And so I believe that God wants us to be growing larger in numbers, particularly with new converts. This first church in Acts chapter 2 was growing in a big way. 3,000 have been added to the church on the day of Pentecost. Verse 47 that we're looking at, the Lord is adding to their number daily. But that growth of numbers continues through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, verse 14, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Acts 11, 24 tells us that in Antioch, through Barnabas's ministry, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Acts 12, 24 tells us that the word of God continued to increase and spread. Acts 19, verse 20 tells us the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. The New Testament church was a growing church. It was growing in every way. It was growing up in maturity. It was growing together in community. It was growing out in evangelism and mission, and it was growing in numbers. The New Testament church is not a defeated or a declining church. It is a victorious church. And I believe that God wants his church to be a victorious church. Amen? Amen. You know, UK statistics tell us that the church is in rapid decline in this country. Church attendance is declining. The percentage of Christians on the the census has gone down significantly. Our nation is turning its back on God. There is spiritual apathy and ignorance in this land. Our children are no longer being taught the Bible or anything very much about Jesus at all. But you know, I believe God is still a God of growth. Amen? In many parts of the world, Christianity is the fastest growing faith. Fastest growing religion, if you want to call it a religion. In Latin America and China, there were hardly any born again Christians 120 years ago. Now there are tens and even hundreds of millions of Christians in those nations. You know, we can get a very jaundiced view because we live and worship in the UK where the church is in decline. But in many countries in the world, the church is exploding. It's growing in incredible ways. You see, the gospel is still the same, isn't it? God's power has not diminished. It is still, as Paul writes in Romans, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen? Amen. Jesus' power and authority has not diminished over the years. He is the same God today as he always has been. Praise God. And I believe God is into church growth. And I believe churches in the UK can grow. Amen? And we have been privileged to see incredible, amazing growth in this church, in Rock Christian Centre. It's quite funny, I found my notes this week of when I first launched this fourfold vision nearly 20 years ago in the autumn of 2003. I'd only been here a few months. And there was just a handful of people meeting in the upstairs of the onion factory. I've got some slides. Stick the slides up if you would, Leah. There you are. It was like doing church on a bus. And that was actually my commissioning service. That's the guy who planted the church. And believe it or not, that is me. Obviously, the effect of the church growing has had a big effect on my color of my hair. But if I say to you, that was a special service because that was my commissioning. So there were visitors there. So there were more people there because there were visitors. Let's go on to the next slide as well. That's looking the other way. And it was like doing church, as I say, on a bus. You had three chairs on either side. If you had more than one worship musician, they had to stand behind each other. And it was, you know, not very hopeful. And we were meeting in that building there, that onion factory, upstairs. I mean, why would anyone want to worship God in that God-forsaken place? And it's incredible, really, isn't it? And this is what I said. I've actually got my notes here. And I said to the small number of people meeting in that onion factory upstairs that we are a motley group of men, women, and children. I don't think the city council would select us to transform Sheffield. More than half of us have only been in the country a little while. None of us have loads of money. None of us are celebrities. We've had a mixed educational background. We're a bit rough on the edges. Many of us have made a right mess of our lives before we became Christians and haven't done much better since. We may not have many resources. We may have a part of an old rundown building that we don't even own. But we have Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. And if Jesus chooses, he could change Sheffield through us. That's what I said in 2003. I never knew I was such a man of faith. And I said, again, going on, we need to plan and prepare for growth. That was faith, wasn't it? Nadia was there, you probably remember. We need to be prepared to welcome new Christians and unbelievers. We need to be praying for unbelieving family and friends and neighbours and work colleagues. Let's pray that Church on the Rock, because that's what it used to be called in those days, Church on the Rock. Let's pray that Church on the Rock grows bigger in numbers as we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you that not one of us who were there, just stick up your hand if you were there in 2003, not 2004, it doesn't include the Compass folk, you weren't part of us. So it's just a few people who are here, just look around, the faithful few, the daft lot who've stayed all that time. But, you know, praise God. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. None of us, and each one of those who put their hand up will, I'm sure, testify to this, none of us who were part of that church in 2003 would have had the faith to believe that in less than 20 years, the church would have grown from a handful to hundreds of people of every nation, tribe, and tongue. None of us would have had the faith to believe that we could convert the onion factory into a 300-seat auditorium downstairs and fill it, because it was filled, wasn't it, before the pandemic? Let alone, we certainly didn't have the faith to believe that we would buy and own outright the new build library and housing benefit offices that we're sitting in right now, and you know, this new build library and housing benefit offices that Sheffield City Council were so proud of having built. They were the proud owners of it. And, you know, it's absolutely incredible that we're here and that we own it. And, you know, none of us could have believed or imagined that we would be reaching out to the gospel to over 10,000 people a year through Burngree Food Bank and the CAP Debt Centre and the Lighthouse and the street pastors, etc. And Trisha's speaking at another church this morning while she's not here about street pastors. It is absolutely incredible what God has done. It's humbling, but it's what God has done. It's what God has done. You know, none of us would have believed that in under 20 years, this church that looked as though it was on the rocks. That's why we changed the name, because so many people said, is that church on the rocks? Which we weren't sure whether that was an alcoholic drink with ice in it or whether we were heading towards disaster. So it became known as Rock Christian Centre. But we could have had no idea, really, that what we are today. Do you know we are respected by other churches right across the city? It's incredible. This Tin Pot Church has got a reputation throughout the city. We enjoy a great reputation with Sheffield City Council. They think what we're doing here is great. We've got a great reputation with South Yorkshire Police. So much so that they wanted me to become an independent advisor for South Yorkshire Police. I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. They think we're actually mad being here in Burngreen. For half of them don't come here themselves. But but you know, God is doing things. You know, the crime police and crime commissioner thinks we're wonderful. As long as he doesn't have to come in. Business leaders know of Rock Christian Center. And many other people of influence. And so we praise God, not for what we have done, but for what God has done. Praise God. God has done it, and it is marvelous in our eyes. God has proved himself to be the God of the impossible. The God of growth. But God doesn't want us to be satisfied. It'd be so easy at this time to sit back and you can look around this church building. Do you know all church growth statistics say once a building is more than 80% full, you need to move somewhere else. I'm not going to tell you you need to move somewhere else. I think I'd be 6 foot under if we had to do that just at the moment. But, you know, that is... There's a danger that because we're full, we can think, oh, we've arrived. We're okay. We don't need to reach out anymore. We need to reach out more and more. More and more. He wants us to go for greater growth, for greater evangelism, for greater kingdom impacts. If God kind of done all that he's done in the last 20 years, just try to imagine what he could do with you and me and this church in the next 20 years. Whatever you imagine, whatever you dream, God can accomplish far more. Praise God. As long as we keep Jesus at the center, our vision of growth as our focus, and are filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, God can do through us far more than we can dream or imagine. Let me just say a few things about growth very briefly. Growth is part of God's creation. Did you realize that? God created living organisms to grow. If a plant or an animal doesn't grow, we say there is something wrong with it. We say it's stunted, we say it's deformed, it's immature, it's unfruitful, it's unproductive, it's useless. God created us as Christians as living organisms. Despite all the evidence, as I look out today, I believe you are living organisms. You might have slightly fallen asleep, but you are living organisms. And you know, we should be growing, as Christians. We shouldn't be stunted, we shouldn't be immature, we shouldn't be unfruitful, we shouldn't be unproductive, we shouldn't be useless. Paul says in Ephesians 4 verse 13 and the following verses, he prays this, that the Ephesian Christians would become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that they would no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown there and here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, that is the church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows. Grows. You've got that word again. Grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There is no place for stagnant Christians who are not growing. Each one of us needs to be growing in our faith, growing in our understanding of the Word of God, growing up in maturity, growing together in community, growing out in evangelism and mission, and growing larger in numbers. And so that is what God expects of the whole church. So much of Jesus' teaching was about growth. Many of Jesus' parables were about growth. The growth of the kingdom of God. Mark 13 and Luke 13, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God as a mustard seed that would grow into an enormous plant. How many of us have ever seen a mustard seed? I've been farming. It is absolutely tiny. It's about the size of a pinhead. It is the size about the size of a pinhead. Yet it grows into an enormous plant. It's tall, it's woody, it's fibrous. And as Jesus says, birds can lodge in its branches. When you go out in the fields or go out in the countryside, you don't go out in the fields. I used to go out in the fields. You go out in the countryside and you see all those fields covered in yellow. That's oilseed rape. And it's actually from the same family as the mustard seed. And it's really, really a tough, strong plant. And they've bred it so it doesn't grow so big nowadays, so it isn't so difficult to harvest, so that they can get more seed and less plant. Wasn't there in Jesus' day. Jesus is saying, what you see now may be very, very small. Very, very small, but one day it will change the world. One day it will change the world. Jesus spoke about multiplication growth in the parable of the sower and the seed, where just one seed in the good soil would bring forth multiplication 30, 60, or even 100 times. And Jesus expects Christians and churches to multiply. The same message is in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. The servants who were commended had traded with their talents and multiplied them. The servant who was condemned had no faith, had no trust in his master. He buried his talent instead of trading with it, and he was condemned by Jesus. Don't bury your talents, folks. Trade with what God has given you. Trade, be businessmen and women. Trade with the gifts that God has given you. See them multiply. And you know, then you will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, Jesus wants you and I to trade with what we have, to go for growth, to believe in growth. So what are our aims and commitments under growing larger in numbers? If we can have the aims up there, wonderful. So first of all, our aims, this is in our fourfold vision of growth. We have aims and commitments under each of the titles. So the first one, to see hundreds of people from all nations, of all ages, from all backgrounds, make Rock Christian Center their home. Amen? Amen. That's our desire. And looking around, it's wonderful. We've got loads and loads of different ages. We've got loads and loads of different backgrounds, haven't we? And we've got loads and loads of different nations represented here, so we praise God. Secondly, to see large numbers of people respond to the life-changing message of Jesus, be born again and baptized by immersion and added to the church. Amen? Amen. To see the network of growth groups and potential church plants expanding and multiplying throughout the city and beyond. The pastors and elders know that the Lord has put us in this building. But it doesn't have capacity for very much more growth. And the question is, will we need to move to multiple services? Will there be, I don't know, a 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service in the future? I don't know. The trouble is half of you will come at 10 and stay for the rest of the service. So that's not going to solve anything, is it? Because you're all going to be here at the same time. And then when we serve tea and coffee after the first service, you're not wanting to disappear off after 20 minutes of gulping down your coffee and disappearing off. So I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to be glorious chaos if we try and do multiple services. Maybe we will do. I don't know. Or is the Lord saying, I've put you in this place with a limitation of seating, because I want you to plant churches in other communities that don't have a strong Christian witness? Well, someone thinks it agrees with it. But it's a challenge, isn't it? Maybe the Lord would want us to plant other churches into some of these other communities in the northeast of Sheffield, or maybe on Rotherham, some of you come from Rotherham, wherever it may happen to be. It's up to the Lord, isn't it? And so we're seeking God about that for the future. Next one, to see the growth and development of the leadership of the church, to be equipped to lead the church into greater growth and new initiatives in the future. The next one, to secure the future of the church through succession planning and future vision. I don't want to sort of You know, we've got to be real, haven't we? Do you realize that in 10 years' time, John Beyer will be nearly 100? I expect he'll be another Captain Tom. For another 10 years, yeah, Pastor John Beyer will be nearly 100. I'll be coming up for 74. Paul will be approaching 60. So we need to secure the future of the church through succession planning and future vision. To maximize the use of the buildings God has provided for us and continue to develop and maintain the buildings to the best serve the vision of the church and its ministries. There are plans that dear Peter here has drawn up that would join these two buildings together, which would be a wonderful answer to our problems. But we need to raise a lot of money before we were able to do it. But praise God. If that's his plan, then he will do it. And he will help us raise the money for it. To be listening to God's guidance for his plans for the future growth and development of the church. So it's so important that we're listening to his plans, not our plans. Not my plans, not Peter's plans, his plans for the church. And we've already discovered that sometimes we can get those all wrong. And God has to teach us again a different way. And then our commitments that go with this, I'll be very quick on these. To provide a safe and secure environment where people of all nations, ages, and backgrounds will feel welcomed into our church family. It's vitally important that we provide the right environment. It needs to be a place of safety, security, where people feel welcomed. Secondly, to promote and resource personal evangelism, evangelistic outreach, community projects, church courses and events that communicate the life-transforming message of Jesus. So it's not just inviting people here to events, it's actually training and equipping us to be able to share Jesus with our family and our friends, with everyone around us that we're in contact with, and to keep that as a main focus of the church as well. To be a church that maintains a vision for growth and always strives for greater growth, even when buildings are full. I've already spoken about that. Next one, to train, encourage, and release more leaders to lead new ministries, new growth groups, potential future church plants, etc. And I praise God for the privilege of this present time of teaching through this with Trish, teaching through the Growing Leaders course. And I pray that we will be continuing, and we will do that course again in the future, because we need to be raising up a new generation of spirit-filled Christians who will lead this church and lead its various ministries into the future. Amen? Amen. That's so vital that we do that. Next one, to seek God's guidance and direction for the future growth and development of the church, to maximize the development and use of our sites and buildings for the expanding work of the Lord, to progress with raising funds towards improvements and renovations to the sites and buildings. So again, it's looking at how we can best use the site that God has given us, the sites that God has given us, with the blessing of Lighthouse. Now, who knew that we would be gifted the Lighthouse? Who knows what else we might get offered? We don't know. But the Lord knows, and he's preparing us for growth and continued growth. So in conclusion, because our time is gone, will you do your part of this fourfold vision of growth? Will you personally be growing up in maturity? Will you personally seek to grow together in community with your other Christian brothers and sisters? You know, you can't be in community with others if you never meet them, if you never talk to them. If you talk to the same people every Sunday, you're not going to be in community as a church. Will you personally grow out in evangelism and mission? Will you take those gospels out and give them to your friends? Will you share Jesus? Will you come down to Food Bank and sit with some of the Food Bank clients and share with them about Jesus and to pray with them? Will you be involved in ministries like the Lighthouse or street pastors out in the streets as they were last night and out on Friday night as well? You know, there's a challenge to each one of us to be involved in reaching out with the good, glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you do your part to help us as a church and as a community to grow larger in numbers so that we can build God's kingdom here? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Be full of faith, because with God, nothing is impossible. Praise God. Nothing is impossible. And that includes all the situations that each one of us brings into church that we're seeking God's breakthrough for. That's why we have a breakthrough prayer meeting every Friday night, because we're seeking for breakthrough, because we believe that nothing is impossible with God and that He can achieve, because He is the sovereign, almighty God, He can achieve what we could never achieve on ourselves. Franco and the team, come up and lead us in that great final song by Ren Collective, Build Your Kingdom Here. And let's, as we sing these words, let's really make it a prayer from our hearts that God indeed will build or continue to build His kingdom here in our lives, in this church, in this nation, that we may see lives turned around for the glory and the extension of God's kingdom. Let's stand together, shall we?